Anandakoti, Vaishnav Rindigajaya, Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Vijay, Remse Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichiranda Shidway Nigarata, Shivasati Gorubhakta Vrindigajaya, Shishi Radhakrishna, Gopagavata Sayamakunda, Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijaya, Vrindavaram Kijaya, Madhuram Kijaya, Navaribdam Kijaya. Jagadatha Sami Kajai Yamanamai Kajai Shimati Lassi Devi Kajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kajai Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Vol. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga. All right. So, we'll talk about Sripad Madhvacharya. Actually, Sripad Madhvacharya is very, you'll love this story. So, Om Aganat Vidanda Shaganam Jadash Lakya Chakshur Medi Nam Yena. Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, Madhvacharya is the main acharya in the modern day in our sampradaya. You know what a sampradaya is? Sampradaya means disciplic succession. You have four disciplic successions. You have ones coming from Lord Shiva, from Lakshmi, from the Kumaras, and from Lord Brahma. And so the modern person in the disciplic succession coming from Lord Brahma is called Madhva. And he is in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And we're in the same Sampradaya, same disciplic succession. So these are great, 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 grand spiritual master. Pretty nice, isn't it? You get to read about all your grandfathers and great, 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 great grandfathers. Nice, isn't it? Pitamaha. Okay, so Madhvacharya is very special because he is also the son of what? Vayu. Who's another son of Vayu?
Hanuman.
Hanuman.
And Bhim.
Bhimsen. So being the son of Vayu, he was very, very powerful. And he was a special type of yogi. You'll like this. It's Riju Tattvika Yogi. You never heard that before. And that particular yogi has to be 2 and 30 Shubha Lakshanas. In other words, he's a certain height. Listen to how high that type of yogi has to be. 96 inches. You know how tall 96 inches is?
8 feet.
Let's see. 8 feet is, what do we, yeah, it's about 8 feet. That's true. Eight feet.
Right.
8 feet tall. You know what 8 feet tall is? No, you don't think in terms of feet.
What is centimeters?
What's that?
What is it?
In centimeters, let's see, 2 centimeters, I mean 2 meters, not centimeters. 2 meters high would be about 7 feet tall. Actually a little less, I'm sorry. 2 meters high is a little less than 7 feet tall. So it'd be about 2 1/3 meters of height. That's a real yogi. Can you imagine? Like 2 1/3 meters. Can someone show us what that means? How tall are you, Jagat?
6 feet.
6 feet. So there's two more feet on top of you.
I'm 6'2", so it'll be right there.
Where the top of his hand is. That's how tall he was. Pretty good, isn't it? And that's a real yogi. It's called a Riju Patvika Yogi. Has to be 96 inches tall. That's required. Otherwise, you're not a yogi. So because he was the son of Bhimsen, and brother of Bhimsen and brother of Hanuman, he was also very, very powerful. So we'll tell the story of his birth. He was first called Ananda Tirtha. Tirtha refers to a place where you can go back to God, like a cross, Tirtha, to cross back to the spiritual world. So Ananda Tirtha means unlimited holy places, basically. His name was Unlimited Holy Places, Das, of course. And so, what happened is when he was young, he was about, I guess he was about 5 years old, he had a guru. His name was Achyuta Preksha. And his guru was very intelligent because he always gave him sweet balls. So, you understand? Every time he came to see the guru gave him like sweets, a lot of sweets. And so he began to think, boy, what a nice guru. Because children generally think like that, you know. If the guru gives them bitter melon, they'll think, what a terrible guru. So he gives them sweets.
What's bitter melon?
Corella. You know what Corella is? If I just give you a Corella to eat, would you be happy?
I liked it in
raw.
Raw?
No way.
But if I give you lob germans, and then you'll say, oh, what a nice person he is, right? So his guru had actually a plan to convince Madhvacharya to renounce everything. He was Nanda Tirtha at that time. So he'd go to his guru, give him a sweet ball. What a nice guru. So then when he was 8 years old, he said, I'm going to take sannyas. So the problem was his parents did not have any other son. That's a problem, isn't it? Why is it important to have a son?
To look after him?
Yeah. Because what happens with the daughter? Usually. You don't know?
Get married and go away.
Get married and go away. So the father, generally, at least in Vedic culture, the father would lose the daughter because the daughter would get married and then be part of her husband's family. You understand? You understand that, Keshe? And so his parents, Ananda Tirtha's parents, didn't have another son. And they were thinking, who is going to take care of us in old age? At that time, they didn't have a social system in the government to take care of people. Like in Australia, if you become old, they pay you money to become old. But in many countries, it's like that. In India, there's no social system either. So what happened is his parents said, you're coming back from that sannyasi. You're not going to go see that sannyasi anymore because he wants to give you sannyas. And Madhvacharya said to his father, okay, Dad, let's make a deal. And the deal is, if you can have another son, can I take sannyas? And his father said, all right. Because his father was thinking, there's not going to be any more sons. Because they were both, the husband and wife were like 50 or 60 years old. So, you know, you're not going to have children at 50 or 60. That's past your prime. So, what happened is that Madhvacharya prayed to Krishna, oh, let my father have a child. Let my father have a son. And all of a sudden, there was a son born. All of a sudden.
I knew it. You were going to say that.
And then what happened when the son was born, Madhvacharya ran out the door and took sannyasa like when he was 9 years old. Whew. Pretty good, isn't it?
You should go take sannyasa.
No, girls can't take sannyasa.
Okay, then I should.
Only boys can take sannyasa. And so, he actually started to preach Krishna consciousness. Actually, before that, he did a miracle too when he was living at home. One time, his father owed a lot of money to someone. And what happens is that when you owe money to someone, they have to make you pay. Nowadays, they make you pay by taking your house away or taking your children away or whatever, if you owe money. Not your children, but house. House and your computer and your clothes. Just like in America, there's this place called Las Vegas, where people gamble. And it's just like Maharaj Yudhisthira gambling. They actually keep gambling, gambling, gambling. And they even gamble away their car and everything. They have special people there that can sign the title of the car right at the gambling place. You've heard of that before? And then people leave with nothing. They come with millions of dollars or whatever, and then they leave with nothing. So gambling is very, very bad. Anyway, so this father of Madhvacharya wasn't gambling, but he owed money.
Oh, what
And then if you owe money in the Vedic system, the person who you owed money to would actually just sit at your house and refuse to eat. That's an insult. You know, if someone comes to your house and just sits there and you say, would you like some water? Would you like something to eat? And they say, no, I'm just going to sit here and not eat. That's an insult. Of course, in Australia, that would be normal. Australia and America. Like, sometimes I go to people's houses in America, to Americans, and I say, I would like something neat, and they said, no, you got to cook it yourself. Or the best they can do is, okay, we'll make some spaghetti for you. Because we'll put some spaghetti in the microwave. Oh, we'll order pizza from, Pizza Hut or someplace. But in the Vedic culture, there was hospitality. You know, so if someone came to your house, you had to receive them. And if they refused to eat, if they just sat there, it was considered like a horrible, horrible offense, because you could go to hell just for that. So this person was sitting at the house, and Madhvacharya was a little boy at the time. He came to him and said, what's wrong? And this man said, your father owes me money. So Madhvacharya, what he did is he took some tamarind seeds. You know what tamarind seeds are? No, you know. Anyway, seeds, little seeds, little seeds. And he said, all right, I'll pay you the debt. Here is some tamarind seeds. And this person took the tamarind seeds, and then right in front of his eyes, the tamarind seeds turned to gold. Wow, pretty good, isn't it? That's a real yogi. If you can do that, I'll practice yoga. You know, I'd be the first in line to practice yoga if you could turn tamarind seeds to gold, you know.
Later.
Well, much later. Prabhupada said that's like a post-dated check. You know what a post-dated check is? You write a check to someone and you say, well, the check will be good 10 years from now. But by then you'll be dead. So it won't be any good. All right, so Madhvacharya, he did miracles like that. Really miracles. And he had superhuman strength. He was like Superman. You know Superman? Or like in India, they have a superhero. His name is Krish. You've heard of Krish before? No. No one's heard of that. That an Indian version of Superman, his name is Krish. You can look it up on the internet. Yeah, he can fly also, but he's not as strong as the American Superman. But Madhvacharya was so strong that even if he was 10 kilometers away and his parents wanted to see him, they'd just say, hey, Madhva, and boop, he'd just fly through the air back to them. And he was so strong, able to fly, he was able to go to the top of the Himalayas where nobody could go to meet Vyasadeva. You've heard of Vyasadeva before? He's the author of the Vedic literatures. He lives all the way in the top. And it's called Uttara Badri. That means that it's a place you can't get to. It's in a different, practically speaking, it's a different dimension. Okay, so that was his childhood pastimes, and then he took sannyas. But then his spiritual master was a Mayavadi. That was a problem. This is Achyuta Preksha. He was a Mayavadi.
What's that?
What's a Mayavadi? Mayavadi who says that Krishna is not real. It's just your imagination. Actually, when you become liberated or when you become a good yogi, then you become Krishna. Or you become merged into Krishna. Or you all become one. Would you like that? That means you can't hear about Krishna anymore or chant Krishna's names. You just go, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So therefore, his guru had a different philosophy than him. And what happened is his guru eventually surrendered to him and became Madhvacharya's disciple. Pretty good, isn't it? Because the guru got instructions from his own mother to become Madhvacharya's disciple. And Madhvacharya was able to defeat Buddhists. You know what a Buddhist is?
They worship Buddha.
Yeah, they worship Buddha, but they say that everything is nothing. That's interesting, isn't it? Everything is nothing. Nothing is real. Strawberry fields forever. Of course, that's a Beatles song, I know. But is it nothing is real, everything's void, or it's just atoms? It's like modern scientists who say that everything is just atoms, you know, just like material energy. And you're not really conscious, Keshav. It's actually, all you are is a bunch of atoms that think you're conscious, which is kind of funny. So that's Buddhism. There's many types of Buddhism. So he defeated the Buddhists, and then he had an argument, a discussion with some Brahmin about Krishna consciousness, and the Brahmin arranged that all Madhvacharya's books were stolen. So he didn't have any books to look at, no iPad at that time either. But still Madhvacharya was able to defeat this Brahmin Mayavadi. And later on he arranged for this Brahmin Mayavadi to be arrested and taken to jail by the king. Because the king actually became his disciple. So many times he went to Bhadarik Ashram. Bhadarik Ashram is the place where Srila Vyasadeva, he met with Srila Vyasadeva and showed him his commentary on a book called the Vedanta Sutra. And sometimes on the way to Bhadarik Ashram, he would encounter tigers. And one of his main assistant was named Satyatirtha. And Satyatirtha was attacked by a tiger. So what Madhvacharya did is he wrestled with the tiger. And tigers in India are not pussy cats, you know, little cats. They're bigger. You know, Bengali tigers, they can go from here to where the stairs are. That's how big they are sometimes. They're not like the ones you see in... sometimes you see them in the zoo. But they're big. And when they go into a village, they kill sometimes many children, many people in the village. It's a very common thing. It used to be a very common thing, these big tigers in India. And so Madhvacharya personally wrestled this tiger. Slapped him. And then the tiger had to run away. So that's how strong he was. Another time, Muslim government, and he actually convinced the Muslim governor to give him land, which he didn't accept. But anyway, he defeated the Muslim government. So many times he had big fights like that. He was actually the strongest acharya, and he would also wrestle with his disciples. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the guru say, "All right, Guru Dave, say what's on the morning program? Let's do wrestling." So he had wrestling matches with his disciples. He was very much into physical culture, you know, exercising himself and everything like that. And so one of the most wonderful things that happened is that one time he was bathing in the ocean, and this was, it was Udupi. He was bathing in Udupi. Udupi is in western India on the ocean. So anyway, so he was bathing in the ocean and he found a large piece of gopi chandan. You know what gopi chandan is? Tilak. You know tilak. It's about this big. And he broke open, and then there was a beautiful deity of Krishna there. Krishna, Durga, and Balaram, actually. And so then he installed those deities in the temple. And those deities are still there today. Also, he was given other deities, special deities of Sita and Ram. And there's a whole story about those deities. But once upon a time, many, many years ago, before Sita and Ram appeared, there was the Sun dynasty. You've heard of the Sun Dynasty before? Vivaswan? And so Vivaswan was worshipping the deities of Sita and Ram. And then he gave those deities to his son. Who is Vivaswan's son? Does anyone know Bhagavad Gita? Ikshvaku. And Ikshvaku gave it to Manu. And eventually, those deities of Sita and Ram were given to Dasarath. Who's Dasarath? No one knows who Dasarath
is.
Sita Ram. Sita Ram.
Ram, Lakshman, Shatrughan, and Bharat's father.
Father. Why is he called Dasarath? What is Dasa? Dasa.
Ten.
What does Rath mean?
Light.
No, Ratha.
Chariot.
Chariot.
Ten chariots.
So he could fight with 10 chariots at the same time. That's why he was called Dasarath. Another person was called Dasagriva. Who was that? What's Griva mean?
10 heads.
And who had 10 heads?
Ravan.
So Dasarath was given the deities of Sita and Ram to worship. And then he gave those deities to Lord Ramchandra. And Lord Ramchandra just put him in a closet because he didn't want to worship himself. Yeah. Just imagine if you were given a picture of yourself, you wouldn't like put it on the altar and do Archie, would you? So Lord Ram put it in the closet. But one day, there was a Brahmin in Lord Ram's kingdom, and the Brahmana took a vow not to eat unless he could see Lord Ram that day. And so sometimes Lord Ram would go to the forest, and that meant the Brahmin had to fast for a month. And that's really bad. Fasting for a month, you become very thin and weak. So Lord Ram heard about this, and he said, all right, you can have my deities. So he gave those deities to the Brahmin. And those deities were later given to Hanuman. And Hanuman worshipped those deities, and Hanuman gave those deities to Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya has those original deities of Sita Ram Lakshman. And not Hanuman, just Sita Ram Lakshman. Because there wasn't a Hanuman deity then. But they added a deity of Hanuman to the set. And those deities are in Udupi right now. And if you go there, you can see those deities. It's nice, isn't it? So those are the original deities. Let's see, anything else we have to say about that? Oh yeah, he wrote commentaries, that means explanations of the Vedic literatures. And he disappeared from this world. I don't think I remember any other stories of Madhvacharya.
He found water for a king.
Oh yeah, he helped dig a whole lake, actually, for a king. Just him and his disciples. I mean, they were really strong. So, let's see, any other stories? Anyway, he was well known for his strength. That's the main thing. And then he disappeared from this world in 1319. What's 1319? 1319 means 1,319 years after Christ, right? And then, let's see. Anyway, so you can go to Udupi and see his samadhi right now. And that's Madhvacharya. Okay, any questions? It's a fun story, isn't it? Hanuman, Madhvacharya, and Bhimsen, they're all brothers. They're called Vayuputras. Okay. And so we're going to leave at 9 o'clock for Barshana and Nandagram. Barshana is the place of Radharani, where she lived. And Nandagram is the place of Nanda Maharaj. And Barshana is an incarnation of what? The hills of Barshana, incarnation of what? There's 4 hills. Remember I said yesterday? What did I say? What are the hills incarnations of? Lord
Shiva.
No, Lord Brahma, 4 heads.
Right.
And Nandagram,
The hill of Nandagram is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. There's three hills, and there's one more hill in Braj. What is the hill?
Govardhan.
Govardhan. That was easy. And Govardhan, there's other hills, but three, like, spiritual, you know, really special hills. And Govardhan is who?
Krishna.
Krishna. So you got Krishna, Brahma,
and Shiva.
And Shiva. Interesting, isn't it? Krishna, Brahma, and Shiva. We're with Krishna right now. Today we're going to go to Brahma and Shiva. And there's several temples on top of Barshana. There's Man Mandir. There's the, what is this? Lal Krishna temple. We'll see those. And there's the Sankari Kor, where Krishna would extract taxes and break all the gopis' butter pots. So we'll see all that today. Okay? That's a fun place. And also there's Chitra's... Hey, you turned it off. Chitra's village. There's Lalita. There's Lalita's village we're going to see. Maybe we'll go there today because it's right next to Barshana. And maybe we'll go to Vrindakund if we have time. And so we're going to see some really interesting things today and climb up the mountain. All right? You like to climb? But you'll do it.
What's Vrindakund?
Vrindakund is the place of Vrindadevi. And it's been excavated by Dinabandhu Prabhu, and people donate money from all over the world. It's a very beautiful place. There's a deity of Vrindadevi there. The original deity of Vrindadevi was smashed by the Muslims. Actually, there's several deities of Vrindadevi, but the one there was smashed by the Muslims. There's another deity that's 5,000 years old in a place called Kamyavan. And Kamyavan is right on the edge of Braj. And what happened is that when they were moving the deities to escape from the Muslims, they were moving them to Rajasthan. They took them all first to Kamyavan. Kamyavan means the forest of desire. In other words, you get whatever you want if you go there. So they took all the deities there, and then later they moved all the deities to Rajasthan and places like that. And while they were attempting to move the deities, they couldn't move Vrindadevi. She wouldn't move out of Vrindavan. She just like was stubborn. I'm not going. You know, they just tried to pick her up, and she wouldn't move. And she's not a big deity, but they just couldn't move her because she refused to leave Braj. It's interesting, isn't it? Some of the deities they actually put in the kunds when the Muslims came to hide them. Other ones they put in the bushes,
like Gopal.
And other deities they hid in different cities and different people's homes. So these deities were installed by Vrajanava, who is Krishna's great grandson. Okay.